Well, do y'all like letters? You know, if you go to your mailbox and you open it up and you get a handwritten letter, wouldn't that be fantastic? You know, the art of just writing letters is kind of a lost art today. We have emails and emojis, and so many times we sit down and we will write an email or we'll just throw some funny faces on an emoji, but you know, there's just something about it. You know, when you go to your mailbox, just y'all know what I'm talking about. You go to not a bill, you know, not something from the city of Deer Park or Pasadena, but a letter from someone, and you look at it and it's addressed, and you say, oh man, I wonder who's that. You kind of know who it's from, but I wonder what that letter says. Well, I'm gonna start off tonight by just reading three letters. These are real letters. These, of course, were written by kids. But these are three real letters that people have written, but it's a letter. They sat down and they actually wrote a letter. This is a boy that was writing a letter in his school to his teacher, but the teacher said to go ahead and just write it to whoever you want to write your letter to. And this boy writes, "Dear Math." So he's writing to Math. He says, "Please grow up now and solve your problems yourself." How's that one? So that letter is a good letter, but yet we have other letters. So kids write letters, adults write letters. Just when was the last time we sat down? When was the last time you sat down and just because God had just moved it in your heart, you just wanted to write a letter to someone just to tell them something that's going on in your life? This is one. "Dear Ashley, would you please be my girlfriend? I like you a lot. P.S. Please put yes, no, or maybe." And Ashley circles no. Oh, poor boy. And writes this: "I'm sorry, I already have a boyfriend. His name is Kyle. But when we break up, you're my next choice. P.S. That will probably be in a month or two." So you have that letter. Then, of course, you know, you have letters that people write all the time. But this third letter, of course, you know, it's just something about a letter. You know, you write a letter and you get it, just opening it up. It's just kind of exciting because it's kind of an anticipation. Okay, what's this letter going to say? This is from someone, Anissa. "Dear Tooth Fairy," she's writing a letter to the Tooth Fairy. "I lost my tooth on the 23rd of October. Now it is November 12th. I lost my tooth in pizza. I lost both today. You owe me $1. Not to be hard or anything, but I need the money." So she actually wrote a letter. Well, you know, writing letters, and those are funny letters, but the art of letter writing, like I said, really has kind of been replaced by some things. But to share what you really, really want to share, and something really from your heart, I think it's just something about taking a piece of paper and a pen, and just writing a letter, just writing something down. So tonight we're going to look at a letter that is written by a man. And this man is not really any ordinary man. I mean, he's an ordinary man, but he was an extraordinary man. He was a true man of God. And he wrote a letter one time. His name was Paul. See, Paul wrote a lot of letters. And if you look in the Word of God, you're going to see in the New Testament that you've got at least 13 letters that Paul wrote. Some people would say 14 if you count Hebrews, but Paul basically wrote 13 letters in the New Testament. He was a letter writer. But there was something special about these letters. 13 letters from probably the most influential Christian ever to live. If you got a letter from someone that was considered to be the most influential person in any field, you would probably read it, wouldn't you? So here's Paul, who is probably one of the most influential person in the Bible. 13 letters full of wisdom and inspired by God Himself. Think about that. Paul wrote the letters, but God inspired the letters. I would want to read those. I would think There's something important in there. If you got a handwritten letter from somebody very, very, very important, you would want to read it, wouldn't you? You would want to read and hear what that person has to say. He wrote Galatians. He wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He wrote Romans. He wrote Ephesians, Philemon, Colossians, Philippians. He wrote 1 Timothy, he wrote Titus, and then he wrote 2 Timothy. We're going to look at one letter today in the Bible. And as you see on your notes already, that's going to be 2 Timothy. But there's something very important about 2 Timothy. For 2 Timothy was Paul's last letter. 2 Timothy was the letter that Paul wrote because Paul knew that he was probably about to die. He was a prisoner. Nero was the ruler at the time. Did not like Christians. Paul and Peter were arrested. And he sat down. And instead of moping, and instead of worrying, God inspired him to write a letter, 2 Timothy. Now, I just want to say something here. What does a man really want to tell somebody when he knows he's about to die? That's interesting to me. What is it that somebody, I mean, if I was about to die and I was going to write a letter, which would be very good to do. I think all of us should write a letter to our loved ones. I think we should write a letter to our friends. I think there's a time where you sit down and just write a letter. But if I was about to die, and I would want to listen to what somebody would say. See, he was about to die. What wisdom was God going to inspire him to share in 2 Timothy? Now, all his other letters are fantastic, and they lead us to the throne of God. But this letter, he knew what was going on. He knew this is it. He knew this is what's going to happen. And he writes a letter to Timothy. I want you to take a journey with me for a minute. You know, Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. That's around in Acts 9. And then in Acts 13, you see that Paul goes on his first missionary journey. And then in Acts 15, you see that Paul goes on his second missionary journey. He goes on that journey with Silas. On his first missionary journey, he goes with Paul and Barnabas and Mark. And then about in Acts 18, Paul starts his third missionary journey. So I'm just telling you a little bit about Paul. But if you want to learn about Paul, if you want to learn about this man that is writing this last letter right here, you read the book of Acts, starting in chapter 9. His third missionary journey ends in Jerusalem. And he's there in Jerusalem now. That's around Acts 21, 22. That talks about the story of Paul. The story kind of, you know, you read the story. The Jews are really plotting to kill him. They don't really like him and him spreading the message of Jesus Christ. He goes before the Sanhedrin. He's taken prisoner. He's prisoner for a while. Through circumstances that are in that book in Acts 27, he starts a voyage toward Rome because they're going to go to Rome. There's a wreck. He's bitten by a snake. He arrives in Rome. He's eventually set free. And that's kind of how Acts ends. But that's not how his life ends. He's at the end of Acts, he's just set free. But you read now with the other letters that he has written, some of the things that he has done. He goes on and travels. He goes on and shares the gospel in Italy, in that area. And then comes the time where he is arrested, probably under the hand of Nero, who very much persecuted the Christians, did not like Christianity at all. And now he is under imprisonment. He knows his fate because he knows what's happening at this time in the life of Rome, and that is they don't like any Christians. And God inspires in his heart, you need to write Timothy. You know, Timothy, his brother, his son in the ministry, the one that he's been with for a long time, the one that he cares about. And you need to write Timothy. So before we get into 2 Timothy, I just want to encourage you in your life that there are some very important people in our lives. And God has some mighty, mighty things that he wants us to tell these people. I really believe that. Now, that's not going to be in the Bible. It's not going to be inspired like that. But I really believe that in every one of our hearts, God wants us to share him with other people. But I'm really talking about your family and your close friends and maybe somebody that's really, really close to you. I think, and I encourage everybody in this room, sit down and write a letter to him. Share what God's doing. Share how God's changed your life. They probably already know it. But just share with them God's glory and God's grace. You know, the art of letter writing, it may be ending, but it doesn't have to end with us. I just think that would be great. But we're not here really for that point. We're just here to talk about his letter, his last letter. And so what I want to do tonight is just talk a little bit about 2 Timothy. I want to talk and share with you, and I hope you go home tonight and read 2 Timothy. You go, this is Paul's last letter. And Paul has some wisdom that he wants to share with us, and I believe that everybody here tonight, that when we walk out of here, we will understand what he was talking about in 2 Timothy. What he wants us to know, what God wants us to know. And I really feel like our lives will be better because we're listening now to a godly, godly man share what God inspired him to put down on paper. And so in your notes, we just have some things. The first thing that I really believe that Paul was wanting to tell Timothy was this. I think that Paul was wanting to tell Timothy, no matter what happens, no matter what goes on in your life, I want you to guard the truth. I want you to guard the truth. See, everyone in here tonight, if you have the privilege of asking Jesus in your heart and you are saved, and you have a truth in there in your heart because Jesus is the truth, and we need to guard this truth. And so, and 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, he says this, follow what you heard from me as the pattern of true teaching. Follow it with faith and love because you belong to Christ Jesus. You know, isn't it wonderful to belong to Christ Jesus? Amen? Maybe you thought about that, thought about just the privilege it is to belong to Christ Jesus. He says that to Timothy here. He says, guard the truth of the good news. Now, the good news is Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. That's the good news. Guard the truth of the good news that you were trusted with. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. See, we have been called by God if we are saved. We have been called by God, and I believe that there is no higher calling than to be called by God. He saved your soul. And so with that, we have a responsibility. And Paul is saying to Timothy, you have a responsibility. This is the responsibility that you have. You have the responsibility to guard the truth. Guarding is one of those words, means like with all your life, you guard that. You guard the truth of the gospel like you would guard the one you love the most if something was about to happen to him. You guard it with all your heart. And so I had to ask my question this: am I guarding the truth, or am I diluting the truth by the way I live? And see, Paul's saying this: listen, whatever you do, you guard that truth and don't dilute it. Because there's nothing more important than the Word of God. Because the Word of God is from God. And so what you have to understand is this: you guard it with all your life. What are we teaching about Jesus? Well, I don't teach any. No, we teach. We teach by the way we live. We teach by the way we walk and talk. So my question would be, what are you teaching about Christ? Paul is saying here to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to guard the truth. You know, I think God's telling us the same thing. I hold in my hand right here, and you all do too out there, the Almighty Word of God. What an honor. The very words of God written down on this page. Are you guarding that? Are you guarding your heart in such a way that you live what's written on these pages? Paul is saying, listen, before I die, before I'm gone, I'm just asking, guard the truth. Many people are going to come along and try to dilute this. Many people are going to come along, try to change this, and interpret it in ways that God never intended it to be interpreted. And I'm here to say that Paul's saying to us, guard the truth. And to guard the truth, we must know the truth. Not just with salvation, but with the very knowledge of what's in these scriptures. With the very knowledge of what God is saying about us as Christians. So the first thing he says is guard the truth. That's chapter 1. If we're going to look at that, chapter 1. Now go to chapter 2. I think in chapter 2, Paul's in prison or wherever he was, and he's being inspired by God. And I really feel like chapter 2 really kind of just says, live the life in the present. God wants you not just to guard the truth, but with guarding that truth, he wants you to live your life in the present. Not in the past, even though we need to remember the past and learn from it. And we need to remember the past and be grateful for it, especially if Christ saved us, right? And what he says is this, I really believe in here that he's saying you need to live the life in the present. John 10:10 says this, God, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to its full. God wants everybody in this room to have an abundant life. Doesn't mean you won't have problems, but what he wants you to have is joy in your heart. And so God wants you to live your life in the present, which means this: sometime in our life, we are just going to have to get rid of our past. Learn from it. Grow from it. And especially if there were mistakes, somehow, which is only done through the Holy Spirit, our past is the past. And so to live life in the present, to have an abundant life, you're going to understand that God wants to give you joy every single day. When you wake up in the morning, God's just waiting there to pour joy out on your life. And so if you go through chapter 2, he tells us some wisdom on how to live life in this present. I'm just going to kind of name them. If you can write them down, You can write them down, but there's a lot of them, but I'm just going to kind of, in chapter 3, he basically just says this, you need to endure hardship. Sometimes you're going to have hardship in this life. Have any of y'all ever had hardship? Yeah, we all have. And he's saying this, endure it. He's not saying don't ever have hardship. You're going to have hardship. He's saying endure hardship. Look at Paul's life. He's in prison and he's writing this. Of course, Paul knew if he was going to die, he was going straight to heaven. Endure hardship. Then it says later on in verse 4, don't get caught up in busyness or business. Don't get caught up in this world's philosophy. How many of us ever worried about this world's philosophy? How many of us ever worry about the busyness of life? Got to get this done. Got to get this done. Got to get this done. I'm not saying just go home and sit on the couch and do nothing. I'm not saying that. You have to be concerned. It's just saying this. Don't let it consume you in such a way. If you look in verse 5, I think it kind of says this. You need to kind of play by God's rules. In every race, there's rules. And so to live this life in the present the way you need to live this life in the present, you need to play by God's rules. Verse 6, I think it says that you need to work hard for the Lord. I think it's very important that if we got saved by God and we're guarding this truth, that we work hard for the Lord and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just very important. And so he says that in verse 6. Then you go down to verse 14, he says this, do not quarrel about petty stuff. How do I know he says that? Because it says do not quarrel about petty stuff. How many times have we quarreled about petty stuff? Churches are destroyed by petty stuff. Governments are toppled by petty stuff. Wars are fought over petty stuff. Marriages are broke up over petty stuff. The Bible, Paul's saying, listen, to live your life the way God wants you to live your life, don't quarrel about the petty stuff. Some things just aren't worth the battle. Some things just aren't worth the battle. You know what's worth the battle? Guarding the truth. I believe that's worth the battle. You know what's worth the battle? Jesus Christ. That's worth the battle. But petty stuff, we all do it. Verse 15, he really basically is saying to us to handle the word correctly. We've kind of already touched on that. It's just basically saying this. Make sure before you say what the word says, you know that's what it means. Handle it correctly. Because this is the words of God. Handle it correctly. Verse 16, avoid godless chatter. Verse 22, flee from evil desires of youth. It says, pursue righteousness, faith, and peace. That's in verse 22. I'll tell you what, Paul is telling us how to live. If this was a list and we checked it off as we did it, just imagine how much better our life would be. How much better our life would be if we pursued righteousness, we pursued peace, we pursued faith. Just think about how much more relaxed you would be. Then he talks about do not have anything to do with dumb arguments. How many times have we done that? And the last thing really he kind of says in this is be gentle with those who oppose you. Do you know that in this world, I know this is going to be hard, but do you know that in this world not everybody's going to like what you do? Do you know that? But the Bible tells us in living the life in the present, the Bible tells us how we're supposed to handle that. And how we're supposed to handle that is we're supposed to be gentle with those who oppose you. I'm not saying you just roll over. I'm just saying this, but you got to be gentle. Don't stoop down to their level. It's the worst thing you could do. Sometimes it's better to turn and walk away than stoop down to somebody else's level. You know why? Because you're still standing. God wants us to be gentle. God wants us to be Christian with opposition. There's nothing more confusing than an angry, mean Christian. There's just not. And so the Bible's saying here, Paul's saying, listen, I just want to share. Now Paul, you got to understand this. Paul's saying, be gentle with those who oppose you. Now, Paul was a pretty strong man, right? I mean, when it came to guarding the truth, he stood in front of people and he told the truth the way the truth was. And they opposed him. But there's just something in Paul's heart that even if they opposed him, he, instead of being mean and vindictive or whatever, he was gentle. And so God said, write that down in your letter. So turn over to chapter 3. Chapter 3 basically just says this. Stand by the word. I mean, that's what it says. If you go down to verse 14 in chapter 3, it says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Isn't that great? So he's saying to us, listen, I just want to share this with you before I die. I want you to stand by the word of God. What's in here will save your life. Let's stop making it up. Let's stop trying to figure it out ourselves. It's already figured out. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, you don't need anything else. If you read all of chapter 3, which I hope you do tonight when you go home, he's talking about false teachers. He's talking about in the end times, people are going to be meaner, and it's just going to be this type of stuff, and there's going to be people that are teaching. Listen, you stand by the word of God. You stand by what the word of God says. Because there's going to be people in the end times that are going to come and try to dilute the word of God and try to say, well, this is this way and this way and this way and this way. Listen, I'm just encouraging you. You know the word of God by reading the word of God, by memorizing the word of God, by studying the word of God. Don't you let somebody else tell you about the word of God. You study it. God says through Paul, stand on this word of God. Stand on it. And to stand on it, we must learn it. And the last thing in chapter 4, if you go over to chapter 4, he basically says, be an example. So go to verse 2 in chapter 4. It says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. I like that. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your minister. He is basically just saying, listen, when we know Jesus Christ, and I know he was writing to Timothy, and Timothy was a preacher and an evangelist, but I think it applies to every one of us. He's saying, if you've had the privilege of having Jesus Christ in your heart, we need to preach the word. We need to encourage people. We even need to sometimes correct people, but do it in love. We need to be very, very patient. Very, very patient. We need to keep a level head. We need to endure. I'll go back to one of these, and I just want to share both of them. But I really believe what's going to bring revival in this country, if God allows it, is the patience of God's people. Like I said, there's nothing worse than an angry, mean Christian. It just doesn't fit. And sometimes we can get upset about what's going on in this world. And I'm not saying you, not rightly so. Because there's some very godless things happening in this world, right? But Jesus Christ wants us to show His love. And the way that we show the love of Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ flows through us. That love of Jesus Christ flows through us. So Paul is saying to Timothy, so when that kind of stuff happens, keep a level head. Keep a level head. Let the Holy Spirit let you know what to say. Because we want to react many times. But that may not be the smartest thing at that time. Does that make sense? How many times have we gotten ourselves in trouble because we reacted when we should have kept our mouth closed? Right? That proves the point. But when it comes to Christianity, and when it comes to God, and when it comes to Jesus Christ, our job is to share the gospel so God can save souls. And so it's very important that we read 2 Timothy and we say, okay, God, this was his last letter. I mean, he was putting it all down. This is how I'm going to live. Holy Spirit, please give me the strength to live like this. Because Holy Spirit, maybe I hadn't been living this way, but just give me that strength. And so I encourage all of us in here to read this great letter of a man who is about to die. And through God, just wanted to share some things with us. Very important. See, this was his last letter. You know, God loves all of us. And God made this letter available here. So through the words that are on here, our lives will be changed. So I just encourage you to read God's word. And your life will be changed. So let's bow our heads. So tonight, really the invitation for us is just, God, after just reading this letter, God, what do I need to do in my life different from what I'm doing now? You know, I really don't have a 1, 2, 3, or 4 for that because everybody's life is different. But this is an important letter for you to read. God, what is it in my life that I need to do different? So when you're reading this book tonight, not very long at all, you just ask God that in a prayer before you read it. God, what is it that you want me to learn from this letter? Maybe you're here tonight and we're talking about this, and in your heart, you just felt, well, I just need to ask Jesus in my heart. I need Jesus. I know what you were talking about, but I've never really had a personal relationship with Jesus. Well, tonight you can have that relationship with Jesus. Just say this prayer in your heart. Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Save me from my sins. Make me a Christian. Thank you for saving me, Jesus.